That's one of those groups called, what's the name of that band? Nonpoint. And that's one of those groups that I wish, I don't really ever wish that I'd gone into music management. I mean, I can't think of an industry that I would be less good at. I mean, I know music, whatever. I mean, I know entertainment. I think I know audiences and things like that, but, it's a cutthroat fucking game, man. Especially being a manager, you know, and I used to think that Peter Grant, who was the manager of Led Zeppelin and was and probably is notorious for, how, you know, heavy-handed the guy was, but I used to think he was sort of a prick because of the beating that he and John Bonham laid on a security guard in Oakland back in the day. I don't know when it was, in the 70s, they apparently got into a beef with the security people at Oakland Coliseum and allegedly beat up this guy and had to come back and answer charges, and I don't know how that all went down. And, you know, I always thought, what a fucking asshole, you know? I mean, I love the band, but your fucking manager is a fucking sack of shit, right? But then I heard the quote, I believe it was Jimmy Page or it was Robert Plant, one of the two. He said, when Peter Grant started to manage us, or maybe it was some other band member from another group, but he said, when we finally got Peter Grant as a manager, we finally started getting paid. We saw actual checks. Because up to that point, the promoter, the manager, the limousine company, the fucking backstage food, the fucking hotel, you know, oh, well, it's coming off, you know, it's all coming out of your pocket, you know, it's got to come out. We got to pay all these bills, see? You'll get your money, right? But right now we got to pay these bills. And it was always bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Peter Grant was the first guy to come along and say to the promoters, you are not getting this group until you pay this fucking band. That's not the first guy, but he was one of the... And you're not getting this goddamn band unless you pay. And correct if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I don't think he had a very cordial relationship with Bill Graham, for instance. And Bill Graham was the man, you know, at one time. He promoted the biggest fucking shows on the West Coast, certainly, and probably in New York, too, because he had the Fillmore East. And I recall seeing and hearing... documentary footage and audio recordings of Bill Graham literally screaming at fucking band members backstage, telling them to get the fuck out of his arena, telling them to get the fuck off of his stage, telling them this, that. I don't want to talk ill of Bill Graham, but I guess what I'm saying is Peter Grant became instantaneously for me when I heard the testimonials, if you will, of people who were musicians that he managed. And up to that point had really been getting fucked around and fucked over by promoters. You know, he became my hero, you know, because if there's one thing that I think anybody who, seriously, and you guys may have a differing view of this, but I can tell you from not just my own experience, but from people that I've talked to, if there is any group of people in any business that get fucked more thoroughly and more consistently, and you're not aware of it a lot of the times because the money that's made in the entertainment business is so, for a handful of people, is so fucking astronomical. You know, there's a long-standing statistic that everybody quotes who's a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and it goes something like this. 95% of the Screen Actors Guild membership makes less than $10,000 a year. And you may ask yourself, well, what the fuck are those people doing in that union anyway? You know, they're not very good, are they? That's how the money gets spent. Not, you know, if you're in SAG, you obviously got into SAG because you were hired for a SAG job. You don't just go in and join SAG. I mean, you can. I don't remember now how I joined SAG. I had to join SAG because I had a SAG job. And it was... when the fuck did I join? I don't remember. I know I joined AFTRA, which, by the way, if there's anybody watching from SAG or AFTRA, I joined AFTRA in 1978, so you guys have got that all fucking wrong. On my membership card, it says member since 1998. Maybe I've been a member of SAG since 1998. I've been a member of fucking AFTRA since 1978, and I would like that reflected somewhere on the record, huh? If you don't mind. Got it. I know how it was. I was grandfathered in. That was it. There was a time when you got grandfathered in to SAG because you're a member of AFTRA. Now, What happened was I went on suspension because I wasn't paying my dues and I wasn't doing any SAG jobs anyway. Every job I had was an after job. It was a radio job. So when I finally got hired for a SAG job, which is in the late 1990s, I think it was King of the Hill, to be honest with you, and the agent at the time said to me, you're on suspension, Phil, from SAG, so you can't until you get... I had to pay $900 in back dues, and then I got into SAG. But anyway, bottom line is there's not a lot of money that's made by much of the membership, and whether that's because they're getting fucked, I don't know, but I can just tell you that there's not a lot of fucking money that's made by a hell of a lot of people who are in the entertainment business, and I'm not asking for pity. What I am saying is I don't... When it comes to any person doing any job, I think you'd be hard-pressed. I'm serious. Even if you get to the level of, like, you know, domestic workers, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a group of people that are more consistently fucked than anybody that's in the any level of the entertainment business, radio on up. Radio is notorious. I mean, radio is a, it's just a fucking disgrace. Just a fucking, you know, I won't go on and on about it, but when you got a guy working at a radio station, and you say to this guy, oh, by the way, I want you to cut some tracks for the 500 fucking radio stations that we have, and what is it? Hey, and now here is Bruce Hornsby in the range. I'm Billy Bo Steel, and you're listening to K-Fuck in Cincinnati. Here is Bruce Hornsby in the range. I'm Billy Bo Steel, and you're listening to K-Snot in Denver. Here's Bruce Hornsby in the range. Seriously. Sir, I'm telling you the truth. And you're doing all these tracks that the boss says, go ahead and you do, because we've got this other gig that you do. You want this job? Oh, sure, I want this job. Well, there's some other shit. But, tell you what, don't worry about it, because we'll take care of you. We'll give you an extra $500 a month. Right? I mean, I can tell you right now that that kind of money is... That's what we call a voice ripper, man. When you're doing all of those fucking liners, that's a voice ripper, and that is worth a fuck of a lot more than $500 a month. When you're doing it every fucking month, and you're doing it, I don't know how long the sessions are. I wouldn't do it for... I'm telling you right now, you'd have to negotiate a whole new thing if the union still existed in radio, which it doesn't. This is why unions exist, okay? You may think that, oh, you want to leave it up to the fucking boss. If you're the kind of guy that wants to leave the fairness of your treatment, the working conditions, all that shit, if you want to leave that up to your boss, I say with all due respect to you, you're stupid. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to... I know you're not, really. I know it's more a political point of view for a lot of people. I get that. But I'm telling you from a realistic point of view, if you leave up to the generosity of a boss, and you can tell me that you've worked for some great people. I worked for some great people. Non-union jobs, you're right. Very nice people. They gave us great Christmas parties, and they were nice, and they shook your hand, and hey, Phil, how you doing? Gave, you know, invited you to the house. All that shit that we think a good employer is about. That's not really what a good employer is about. I had a great employer in Orlando, Mr. Emil Corona, who owned WORJ Radio. He was a great man. He was a nice man. He was all that stuff. Great and nice and good. We had good insurance. I think we made pretty decent bread for the Orlando market in late 1970s. I mean, it was not a big market then. It's not a big market now, you know. But back then, it was Orlando was just barely a medium-sized market. But Mr. Corona paid us competitively. We had insurance. We had paid vacation. We had, decent working conditions. I mean, we had a beautiful set of production studios. The actual broadcast studio was out in a fucking orange grove somewhere because it was at the site of the transmitter. And that's what a lot of radio stations, old school stations, would do if they couldn't afford to build a studio somewhere in town and afford, I guess, the relay or whatever. They just stick your ass where the transmitter was. That's exactly where our studio was. So if you walked into WORJ in Orlando, you thought, well, wow, what a first-class operation, until somebody said to you, and now we'll take you out to where you're going to be working, which is in the middle of a fucking orange grove, man. And it's like one night I walked in there and I forget who was doing the overnight show. He told me that he just killed a fucking snake. I'm serious. Just came right into the... Anyway, guys like that are few and far between. For every Emil Corona that I worked for, and I only worked for one, I worked for 100 motherfuckers that didn't pay you what you're worth. Took a chunk of fucking money out of your check for your health insurance, if you had any at all. Didn't give you any fucking paid vacation time, not really. Gave you no other I mean, I'm just telling you. So, leaving it up to a boss, you can always say, well, why don't you quit and go and find another job? Okay. That's a very good... And do you really honestly fucking think, man, that it's as simple as that, looking at the shifting economy that we live in today, looking at the way entire chunks of the labor force are moving around from one set of skills, having to learn another, from manufacturing into more of a high-tech or service-oriented stuff. I mean, you know, these motherfuckers that love to quote unemployment numbers, and they love to think that it's... You got to be really... You can't be that dumb to think that all of the shifting numbers in terms of employment has to do with a president or a fucking Congress or a law that was all fucked up. And we just passed the right fucking laws. No, motherfucker. We got a sea change happening in the labor force, the likes of which we have not fucking seen since the industrial goddamn revolution. Period. So, who do you blame for the... What president do you want to give credit to for the industrial fucking revolution? Well, you can't. You can say that there was one that helped it along, there was another one that might not have gotten it. I don't... At the end of the day, who really... why don't we go ahead and shit all over Herbert Hoover for the motherfucking depression? Look, I saw what Hoover did. I've read the record. I've read everything that Herbert Hoover, everything that he did and didn't do as the economy began to sputter, as the stock market began its roller coaster ride, as things were starting to turn to shit in America. He did a lot of the very classic things that a conservative or at least a Republican regime administration would do. One of them was just to take a lot of the tariffs and the taxes, take a lot of the... the binding of the wrists of industry and business. He tried to loosen things up. He tried to get the money flowing again, right? Didn't work. It's one of the biggest fucking mistakes that we make in politics. And I don't know why people keep making the mistake. And I got to tell you, if I was really an honest man, which I'm not, I probably would say that Donald Trump is the most... would be the best possible president for this situation that we're in right now. Regardless of what he says about immigration, I'm not talking about that right now. What I am talking about is the ability to... People say, well, he's not really a consistent conservative. No political philosophy is ever consistently the right answer. It just fucking isn't. You gotta be beyond dumb to think that consistently applying liberal solutions, big government solutions, to problems always works. And you have to be equally stupid to think that consistently applying conservative small government solutions to problems always work. It fucking doesn't. I just brought up an example with Herbert Hoover. Any more than going 65 fucking miles an hour on no matter what the goddamn street is a good way to drive a car. We all know that is a reasonable and intelligent appraisal of a situation. Why the fuck can't we apply that to politics? What the fuck is our problem? I'll tell you what it is. Everybody's got to be somebody, man, and you ain't nobody unless you can identify as something. And people don't have any real personal philosophy. People are so insubstantial these days that the one thing they do identify with is a fucking political point of view, a political club. It's a fucking game that motherfuckers are playing. They don't understand it. They don't really recognize what they're doing, but that's what it is. It's a fucking game. I'm in a club. It's called a conservative. I'm in a club. It's called the liberals. That's the club. And this little fucking game that is sort of run, the point people are all these little columnists and talk show hosts. And there's so much fun calling each other names and putting dunce hats on each other and pointing fingers at each other. It's just so great and neat and cool. It fucks the country up, though, man. It fucks our country up. It just fucking... All these motherfuckers that can afford to point fingers and put dunce hats on and can afford to play these fucking games, they don't give a fuck that there's somebody really suffering as the result of their fucking gridlock and their insistence on their little political religion. That's why I hate those fuckers. Not because they're necessarily conservatives or liberals. It's because they don't recognize they have to have the courage to think differently sometimes about things. Can't always fucking... That's why a cat like Lindsey Graham, you know, busts out for me. Maybe not for anybody, but it's so goddamn refreshing sometimes. Say, this motherfucker's dangerous. You know, he's a conservative. He's a Republican. I'm a Republican. Whatever. I don't know. But this motherfucker is really dangerous. You know, he's not saying... Now, I don't know, to be honest with you, just how bad Donald Trump is. Frankly, I think Donald Trump's got a better handle on the international economic situation than any one of those motherfuckers put together. I'm telling you right, he seems to have a very good grasp of that situation. As far as the social situation goes, as far as he's another one of these business motherfuckers that speaks one language, the language of money. He doesn't know a goddamn thing about people. He doesn't know a motherfucking thing about the history of this country, the demographic makeup of this country, why it's important. What is it to be an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, a legal immigrant? Why it is that perception is everything. He cannot open his motherfucking mouth without people getting the wrong idea, and then he just blames it on them. You have to understand something. Perception is everything, and if people perceive you to be a motherfucking asshole, I got news for you. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, it's your fucking fault. You got to find a better way to talk to people. I don't give a shit. You can't spend the rest of your time telling everybody how they're fucking wrong and what you just said is really fucking A-OK and smart. When Donald Trump came out and he said, here's why I know, I talked to some border agents. That's not fucking proof of anything. Border agents are, border patrol officers are hardworking, gutsy guys. I get it. They have opinions. They have practical hands-on experience. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not taking the word of a guy, of a police officer at the border as to the machinations and policies of the Mexican government and who they're actually sending over here and what. I'm not going to do it, okay? I need a little bit more information than the opinion of a guy working along the border. But that's what Donald Trump is going to base his entire fucking opinion of immigrants. Never mind, fuck it. I don't even want to get into it. I don't know why I'm even talking about it. Excuse me. Fuck all this shit. I wouldn't blame you if you said, Phil, you dumb cunt, which I know I've just given permission to hundreds of thousands of people to do. Right now. All right, now, tonight on the show, I want to get, goddamn, it would be really great is if I had me some motherfucking deaf fucking leopard. You know, I want to find me some motherfucking deaf leopard. So what we'll do here, turn this fucking thing off. Tomorrow is going to be Darren Carter on our show, The Science of the Funny. I'm very excited about this. Darren's a very funny guy. It's going to be fantastic. Oh, actually, that's who I'm interviewing, but dropping tomorrow is Phil Lamar. That's going to be fucking a epic event, Daddy-O. An epic event. Let's see. I got to find...
Life is supposed to be a path.
Right.
You go along and these things happen to you and they're supposed to change you. It turns out that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a good one. I can just keep this thing in abeyance. I can take this thing in reserve, you know? During the course of the show, when I hit all these tabs up here, where the fuck is my Def Leppard? I forget, you know? I think I'll be okay, though. Yeah, I'll be okay. I know I'll be okay. I know I'll be okay. I know I'll be okay. Yeah, sure. All right, so we're going to do that. There's my Def Leppard, okay? So Jeff, tell me about that. Yeah, I think.
Okay, this is Rick Allen at his best. Okay, one arm, and he uses cowbell. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Can you tell me what that young man is singing? What is he singing there? What is he singing? What is the man's name?
The lead singer is Steve Weaselman.
Steve Weaselman. Margaret's voice is very bad. Margaret?
Phil, I'm trying to warm it up here. I don't know what happened, but it might be but the fact that... it might be the fact that you got up a little late this morning. You got up a little bit late this morning, Phil, and...
Yeah, Phil, what's going on?
Yes, what is going on with you? Because every time you sleep late or stay up late the night before, I'm the one that suffers.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
I'm the one that suffers.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I didn't mean for that to happen.
Well, it did happen, and now you can hear my voice sounds like a rat-ass, rat-tailed fuck. I sound like a banshee. I sound like some screeching hyena. I sound like a screeching hyena, and I will not have it.
All right, so photograph is what we're going to use. And Jeff is going to... Wait a minute, man. Okay.
Yeah, okay. What's the probably best part of this? Yeah. 2, 3, 4, yeah. Okay, that's the first thing. Boom. Oh, yeah.
Singer.
The lead singer what?
Of the band we're playing now.
Jeff, who is that man that's singing right now?
That's Steve Weaselman.
Fuck it. All right.
Jeff, I want to know the name of the man. Who is this man that's... Who is the lead singer of the Def Leppard?
Now, is this Led Zeppelin, right?
No, man, it's Def Leppard.
Hey, don't call me man. Don't... Whatever you do, don't ever do that.
No, General, this is Def Leppard. This is completely different.
Well, it sounds like the Zeppelin group.
Yeah, they all sound like Led Zeppelin.
All right, who's in this fucking band anyway? Who is this guy? I know this cat. This guy, by the way, the singer in this group, had the same vocal coach that I had. Roger Love is this cat. Great, great, great voice coach. Roger, if you're out there, I love you, man. I can't afford you, but I love you. Now, anyway, doing a lot of money. Well, actually, Premier Radio was paying for it, so. Or maybe they're taking it out of my salary. I have no idea. But Roger Love, goo, 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 goo. Here's what, this is really a good exercise, doesn't it? Goo, 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 go 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 go. See how it's breaking up? You got to be able to go 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 go. You don't want to go into falsetto. You don't want to break, you know, that kind of that little click where you go into falsetto. You got to keep it go 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 go. Maybe you're supposed to. I forget. You're supposed to actually really push it up there. Go 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 go. God damn, check this out. Man, she good. She looking good, man. Ah, shit. They were showing her legs and everything, but now, nah, shit, they ain't showing it. Come on, man, move your arm. Go 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 go. These shows just, I'm telling you, I've seen how, I got a taste of how they're produced. These people. So this is Susie Q. She's the, anyway. I went down, I saw that Storage Wars when it was being produced. Boy, those people. Holy fuck. But I can't blame them, you know. They're successful. But Christ almighty, give them, they get a taste of success. All of a sudden, they're like, here's how you produce television. And, of course, everybody's a fucking star. If you think the egos, this is the truth. If you think fucking egos on just regular say movie actors and TV actors, that shit, if you think those egos are out of control, you ain't seen fucking nothing, man, till you look at reality people. These motherfuckers think the goddamn sun rises and sets on their fucking ass. Unfucking real. Seriously, unfucking real. You know? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's almost like winning the lottery, you know, if you go to these gigs. Goo, 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 goo. Anyway, how much time have we got here, man? God, this is terrible. Those people that got shot, that's horrifying. Here's a cop shot to death and three women stabbed in Louisiana. Kelly to Ramos on Trump. What's it like to be caught in the crosshairs? Well, you know. Goo, 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 goo. Hey, Joe Biden, Mr. Vice President, seriously, don't fucking run for president. Don't. You're not going to win. It's going to take its toll on you. You're not a healthy man. I mean, seriously, I'm being very serious. I think Joe Biden, you know, you love him, hate him, whatever. I think Joe Biden's been a very, very patriotic guy. He has. But you may not like the guy. I don't give a shit. The Dust Lady. Colorado Theater Gunman's Sentencing Caps Grueling Trial. Jesus, what a load. What a fucking load. Thumbs down. Joe Rogan. China holds 23 linked to fatal blasts in Tianjin. Goddamn. Caste-related violence, man. In this day and age, they're having caste-related violence in India. Goo, 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 goo. Walmart to stop selling AR-15s. Wasn't somebody making fun of Rosie O'Donnell because she said, all right, man, I think this is all the damage I can do. Got a photograph of your ass. It's National Dog Day. There you go. That's what we need. That's what we fucking needed. We needed National Dog Day. And, Doug Danger, I think, is going to be on with National Dog Day. Doggy woggies. So we love our dogs. And we love our cats too. Come on. People who don't like cats, man, I'm fucking suspicious of people who don't like cats. I really am. I love dogs and I love cats. But there's a certain group of people that don't dig cats. What's their fucking problem? You know, I just don't like him. Well, you know, maybe I just don't like you. There's something creepy about you, motherfucker. I can understand if you're allergic to cats. But even people that are allergic to cats like them. They appreciate them. They're pretty and they're cute and they're this and they're that. And cats have their vibe. Cats have a very definite vibe and they have a very definite, affectionate way about them. They just are not, in the words of Robert De Niro's character there, and what is it, Meet the Parents? It's, you know, are you into an emotionally shallow animal like a dog? But, you motherfucker. What is this? Why am I getting... What is this, man? Oh, my God. Unbelievable. All right, good. All right, I'm gonna get my shit together here. Kidding. All right. Fuck. Testing. All right, kitties. I'm going to do a Uber pre-roll. Is that what I got going on here, man? Yeah, I do.
Go, 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 go.
Here we are. And now. And ready. And go. And okay. Now, I think... I just want to do one thing. Car freeway. And then we need the... That's revving. That's only 4 seconds. I need the 19 seconds. Yeah, that's what I need. Then I need, right away, right?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Shock, babe.
Yeah, baby.
Has such teeth there.
Bud Dickman on.
And this shows them.
I think we got to go back and do that again. I think we got to go back and do that again. So we need something better, though. Let's see, what do we got in here? Emerald Wheeler. What I'm looking for and what I may not get is car idle. Maybe it would be under C for car idle. Oh! Thought about that? Yeah, here's car racing interior. Fuck it. All right. I want to do one more thing. Ted Bell. Leon Dunphy. I want to do one more thing. All right, here we go. Oh, the jackknife! See, I lost that goddamn motherfucker. You bitch and a half, dude. I lost it. Oh, you fucking whore. See, what happened was, is I lost that fucking goddamn motherfucker, and I still got a... Oh, fuck. I got so much shit I got to do when I get off the air. It's not even fucking funny. All right, let me do this, man. Get out of here, Walmart. Get the fuck out of here. Google News, blow it out your fucking ass. All right, YouTube. Now I want Def Leppard. Okay. All right, so we're going to do... wait a minute, man. What? Where's... I want photograph, motherfucker.
Life is supposed to be a path, and you go along, and these things happen.
There it is. Cool.
Are you tired of hazardous glass made so clear
tired
by
of you.
Windex that you don't
I'm
even know
I'm tired of you,
there?
Motherfuckers.
Smudge it! With the new smudge stick, even clear glass right. gets visibly smudged in a snap.
Get it now! And say no to spotless clear Windex glass.
All right, that's it. Okay. Now, the other one that I want to do is one more thing, and then we're ready to rock this bitch. No. No. Oh, God, no. No, Reggie. Here I go. There. Oh, Chrome.
All right.
Oh, the jackknife. And then what do I want here is... this is one that's good here, I think.
Stay tuned, because Stairway...
No. Stairway to Stardom is starting. This shit's real. This shit's for real. Here it is.
And now, the magic of Jerry Callahan.
Yay.
Thank you.
Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jerry.
First, I'd like to...
Jerry, Leon Dunphy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Giuseppe Taormina.
Oh, This is great. Oh, baby. Hold on. Hold the fucking phone, man. Oh, man. That's a wild thing. God bless his little heart. You know, he's trying his... But the what fucked it up? The audio's fucked up. All right. I can't be responsible for any of this shit, man. I just can't. All right. So are we ready to go? We're only about 4 minutes. What is it? 9 fucking minutes over the limit. Oh, fuck me. Fuck me. All right. Don't lose the fucking news, the copy, Phil. How do I keep losing copy? I don't know. Hey, you like making great money, right? Here's a really great idea. An opportunity to share with you. Driving with Uber. Uber's the popular smartphone app that connects drivers with riders and riders with drivers. I take Uber a lot. I love it. And in chatting with a lot of different drivers and a lot of different customers, I find that it's a great way for people to make a little bit of extra money. It's a great way for people to work around some very tight schedules as students, as parents, as business people. It's a great way for people to meet people. And certainly it's a good way to put your car and your driver's license to use. And people that drive with Uber love drive with Uber.
We've got to slow down, Phil.
People that drive with Uber.
Yeah, because you said Uber. And
I know what I said. People that drive with Uber. God damn it.
People drive with Uber.
People that drive with Uber. Now I said GD in the middle of the commercial. People that drive with Uber. They drive with Uber, man.
Yeah, there's no question they drive with Uber.
All right, so they drive with Uber. What else did they get?
Well, what they get is let me start this all over again because I don't think this is going well. Hey, you like making great money? I know that. Hey, you want to make some great money? Well, here it is. Drive with Uber. Have you got a car? You got to get a car. Have you got a license? Got to get one of those too, but I'm sure you have both. And with those two, you can make some money on the side. You can work around your schedule as a student, as a business person, as a parent. And driving with Uber is a great way to meet people, probably enhance your business life all the more. I ride with Uber, and I find it to be a clean, comfortable, and fun way to go. Be your own boss. You can... be like all the others that are driving with Uber. They love beating... God, I am so fucking bad at this.